But I wanted to share a word with you today as we kicked off our series, our called series last week, and we're going to continue it today. I'm excited about what God is doing. We've seen God moving in many of our students' lives that have pursued the next step in their life, but I want to talk to all of us this morning. So we kicked off this series last week with the story of Elisha. Now, Elisha was called by God in a unique way, probably one of my favorite called stories in the Bible. As you know, Elijah, the prophet, great prophet before him, was running for his life, and as he was hiding out, God came and spoke to him, and he gave him some instructions, and part of those instructions was to find Elisha and anoint him as the next prophet over Israel. And so he found him, and what we pointed out last week is that Elisha was out in the field working. His father was probably a wealthy business owner, and Elisha was just being faithful, working for dad, and God called him to pursue a life of ministry. And we learned a few valuable lessons with that many times in our lives, that God calls us when we're just doing the ordinary things. When we're faithful in doing those ordinary things, we're committing ourselves, whatever we find our hands to do, we're going to do it for the glory of God. And God sees that. And he sees the position of our hearts. And very often, he will call us to do something more significant for him. But we also learned that sometimes God's call is inconvenient. It comes at a time when we're not quite ready for it. I remember when I felt God's call on my life, I felt to go in one direction, but God had other plans. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, but I felt confident that it was eventually going to find me somehow. But God called me, and I left my family, moved 7 hours away, and had to transition a lot of things in my life at that time. And it's important for us to understand that when God calls, sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it calls for us to step out of ourselves and do something that we had not previously planned. And the last thing we learned is that God's call demands a response. So for Elisha, that story, Elijah came and he threw his cloak on Elisha, and then he walked away, the scripture tells us. And so it was left up to then Elisha to make a choice. Am I going to follow God's call or am I not? And we know that he did. And so today we move on to Gideon. We're going to backtrack in Scripture, and we're going to find ourselves in Judges chapter 6 this morning. And what I want to specifically talk to you about today is this idea that when God calls, sometimes there's fear involved. And so today's message is when fear meets who you're becoming. When fear meets who you're becoming. How many of you can say today that you are thankful that you're not the same person you were when you first came to Christ? Come on, raise your hands. Yeah, I see some of your family members are going, yeah, thank God for that. Thank God for that. You were terrible. No. It's when fear meets who you're becoming. One thing that I've learned is that when God calls you, it is a process. He doesn't call you because you're perfect, because you're skilled, because you're an eloquent speaker, or because you're good at something. He calls us very oftentimes in areas where we feel a little bit inadequate. Part of that reason is because our dependence needs to be on him. And so we find Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Here's what's going on. He's not leading any type of charge. He's not standing on behalf of God's people who were being oppressed at that time. We find Gideon hiding. Like a lot of his brothers, he's hiding. He's doing his work, but he's hiding. And we have to understand why he's hiding. And so we got to step back a little bit. So Israel is stuck in this vicious cycle that was repeated several times. They turn from God, they sinned against God, they face oppression, they cry out to God. God raises up a deliverer in the form of a judge. They repent, they return to God, only to do the same thing over again. And this was the cycle that they were stuck in. So by the time we reach Judges chapter 6, it happened again. tells us in verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites oppressed them for a period of 7 years. They devastated their crops. They stole their livestock. They literally left them with nothing. They were starving to death. They cried out to God, and God raised up a deliverer. Verse 2 tells us the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. They're not living, they're hiding. They're hiding. I came to a place in my life where I thought that I was making the right choices, but I knew in the back of my mind, I had sensed God's call for a long time on my life, that I wasn't living, I wasn't pursuing something that was going to make me happy in life, that I was running, I was hiding from God. I didn't want to submit myself to His will, to His plan. They got to the point in their life where fear kind of became normal. Some people live their lives that way. They're not ready for the next step. They're not ready to make a change. They're not ready to allow God in to change things in their own heart. And so they live in fear. So they cried out to God. But here's the neat thing. Before God sends a deliverer, He sends a word. I say neat thing, but challenging thing. We cry out to God sometimes, and God may have to bring a word in the form of a correction to our lives. And He simply said to them, "You've drifted." God handed them over to their own desires. That's not cruelty on God's part. They drifted from God. Then God does something unexpected. He doesn't raise up an army. He doesn't wipe out the Midianites in one clean swipe. He raises up one man. He raises up one man to take a step. And this man is not on the mountaintop with a screaming a battle cry. He's hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, trying to hide his food from the Midianites. Verse 11 tells us, "And the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree, and Gideon was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain." And the first thing that God says to the man in hiding in fear is this. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, mighty hero, the Lord is with you," which tells us something right away. And I think it's very, very important for us to understand that God doesn't just speak to where you are. He speaks to who you're becoming. He speaks to who you're becoming. We learned some valuable lessons from the call of Gideon. Number one is this: God calls you according to who you are becoming. Not who you are. I mean, he could have, if God were to speak to him and call him out of the place where he was, he would have called him, "Hey, fearful farmer," or "anxious survivor," or "little chicken," or "at least in your family, hey buddy." No, he says to him, "Mighty hero." You think Gideon felt like a mighty hero in that moment? I remember when I sensed God's call and somebody prayed over me. Still remember it to this day. His name is Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's from the Northeast. I think his ministry is based out of Maine. And he came directly up to me and he said, "Man of God, the Lord is calling you. Man of God, the Lord is calling you." I'll tell you right now, I didn't feel like a man of God in that moment. I felt like a young man who had a lot of struggles and a lot of difficulties in his life, and I was running. I was doing something other than what I knew I was purposed to do. I didn't feel like a man of God in that moment, and I'm sure Gideon didn't feel like a mighty hero. Why did God call him a mighty hero? Because this is how God sees things. First of all, He sees you. He sees you where you are, but He sees you. You are His precious creation. No matter what's been done to you or what you've done to yourself, He sees you. You are His. You are His child. You have been marked by Him. He sees you. He also sees who you will be. He sees who you will be. He sees beyond your current place in life, and He sees who you will be. And lastly, He sees whose who he's forming you to be. This is a process and this is a journey. When I was called into ministry, when I began in ministry, I'll be quite honest with you, I didn't know what I was doing. I went to Bible college for 4 years. I learned a lot about scripture. I even had a couple of classes that taught you how to be a pastor. But when I got into ministry, I quickly realized how much Bible school did not prepare me for a life of ministry. Oftentimes, I would say they didn't teach us this in Bible school, that's for sure. It's been one of my life goals since to someday, should the Lord have his way, for me to be able to have the opportunity to teach maybe in a Bible college or teach online those that are going into ministry. Maybe to share with them some of the things I learned in life that Bible college did not teach me or did not prepare me for. But I also thank God that I'm not who I was when I was first called, when I began in ministry, even 10 or 15 years into ministry. God has helped me to mature and grow. I made a lot of mistakes. I said things and did things I probably shouldn't have out of immaturity. Not to say that I don't do that anymore, but I've really tried. Plus, I have a wonderful wife who will help me and nudge me if I'm getting a little worked up about something. Here's the thing. Here's the truth I want you to understand. God doesn't just call out what is. He calls out what will be. And so he did that to Gideon. He said, mighty hero. Mighty hero. God was calling out what is already there. This principle is found in Scripture. Let me paraphrase it a little bit. Romans 4:17 said in the New King James Version, God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Our God is an amazing God, isn't he? He created something out of nothing. Our God is such an amazing God that he created this world, that he created this universe out of nothing, that he created us out of the dirt of the ground. And even when we are broken and messed up, God calls us and he is able to mend us. These broken vessels he's able to put back together for use for his kingdom. It's kind of like a coach or a teacher who will call a student or an athlete a leader, right? And sometimes those students or those athletes, they don't see themselves as leaders. But the coach sees something in them. Or a parent who will mention just how you're a leader or how responsible you are. I remember when my parents said some of these very things to me, and be quite honest with you, I didn't feel like I was that kind of person. I remember mom saying so many times, John, you don't realize it, but you're a leader. Your friends follow you. They'll follow you wherever you go, whatever you do. And I'll be honest with you, I was not always a good leader. I led them down the wrong path sometimes. I did some things I wasn't necessarily proud of. But as I matured a little bit, I realized, well, maybe God is using me. I think about my own children. I think Jen and I have made it a practice to call out things that we see in them. Sometimes bad things, sometimes call them out on certain things, but speak life over them. Speak life over them. To tell my kids, man, you're such a leader among your peers, you don't even realize it. Or you've got this in you, you've got that in you. It's important that we do this. It's not lying. It's calling something forward in their life, and it's a biblical principle. So stop defining yourself by your current condition and start agreeing with what God is saying about you. Start believing what God is saying about you. The second truth we see is this. Fear does not disqualify you. It reveals where you need God. Fear is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. When I sensed God's call on my life, I gave God every excuse why I couldn't do it. But it was that very thing. It was the fear, the insecurities, it revealed where I needed God the most, and it still does today. Gideon's response is not bold faith, right? It's questioning God. Now, we see this all throughout Scripture. So many people that felt called by God, they gave God all the excuses, right? But Gideon's a little bit unique. He says this in Judges 6:13. Well, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? You ever feel like that in life? Come on, be honest. You ever feel like, if God was really with me, then why is all this stuff happening to me? The answer is, I don't know. It could be your own fault, or it could just be circumstances in life. It could be a spiritual attack of the enemy. I don't know. But it doesn't mean that God is not with you. He says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Verse 15, Gideon says, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest. You ever feel that way? I mean, I remember several students from our youth ministry. We visited the same Bible college, and there were some that sang on the worship team, some that led small groups before small groups were a thing, some that even preached in youth group. And when I felt God's call, I remember my first immediate response, well, Lord, what about so-and-so? I mean, they're already doing ministry. I'm not doing ministry. I'm not doing this. What about my friend Derek? He just preached last week in youth group. You know, God didn't tell me then, but God was calling him as well. But those fears and those insecurities don't disqualify you. They identify areas of your life that you need God and you need his strength. And I wouldn't want to do ministry any other way. The moment I ever get to the place where I think I got this, I'm good at this, or I'm... it's the moment I need to step away and let somebody else step in. Because we always need to be dependent upon the Lord. So where have you been? Maybe you've asked the question, why me? I'm not enough. Here's the truth. Faith doesn't mean the absence of fear. It means moving forward with God in it. And that's the big key. I can't say that all the fears went away. In fact, when I made the decision and sold my vehicle that I had just bought, and I tried to scrape together all the money I could and packed all my belongings and went up to Zion Bible Institute in Barrington, Rhode Island, as soon as I walked out that campus and unloaded my stuff in my dorm room, fear just swept over me. And I remember thinking, what did I just do? I was a terrible student in high school, not because I couldn't do it, just because I didn't want to do it. What am I doing here? Fear came over me, but I realized the fear didn't go away. God was walking with me in the fear. God doesn't rebuke Gideon for the fear. He redirects it, which leads to the third key, and that's this, number three. God's presence is the key to our becoming. Aren't you thankful for that? God's presence. I can tell you so many times that I prayed and sought God at the altar. There's areas that the Lord just dug up in my life, insecurities and things that I dealt with in my life that the Lord would bring to the surface, and I would have to repent or ask the Lord to help me and strengthen me in this area. And I'm still thankful to this day that God still deals with me in that way. That when there are things that I'm struggling with, that God loves me enough to bring it to the surface so that I can repent, I can change direction, I can do what I need to do. My timer on my iPad and my voice is telling me it's almost time to land this plane. God's presence is the key to your becoming. God doesn't argue with Gideon's insecurity. He doesn't rebuke him. He just simply says this in verse 16, I will be with you. God promises Gideon in verse 16, I'll be with you. There's no greater promise than that. No greater promise than that. Wherever you are in your life right now, whatever you're dealing with, that's the greatest promise. That the Lord will be with us, that he'll walk with us, that he'll journey with us. He doesn't say to Gideon, Come on, man, you got this. Roll up your sleeves, you got this, right? He doesn't say, believe in yourself, Gideon, believe in yourself. He doesn't say, man, Gideon, you're stronger than you think. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Whatever God is calling you to do, maybe it's a deeper relationship with him. Maybe it's some changes in your life that you need to make. Maybe you do sense God's call on your life. The greatest promise that you can have is this, that the Lord will be with you. He'll walk with you. He'll give you wisdom. Just, I'll be with you. You don't become who God called you to be by trying harder. You become by walking with him. There comes a point in our life when the Lord speaks something to us and we've got to put the work in. But that's not going to make us victorious. That's not going to help us to overcome. It's by trusting that he'll walk with us in this, that he'll work through us. We never become who God calls us to be just by trying harder. We do that by walking with him. So shift your confidence from yourself to God's presence in your life. The really incredible thing about Gideon is that Gideon doesn't go from the wine press to the warrior overnight, does he? You see the process in Scripture? Read it for yourself in Judges. Judges chapter 6, towards the end of the chapter, he asks God for signs. The Lord speaks to him, calls him a mighty warrior, promises that he'll be with him. And what does Gideon do? What's the next thing he do? You think he like throw everything down and get his armor and get his sword or whatever? No, he starts asking God for some signs. God, give me a sign. Some of you in this room, God's been calling you out for a long time, and you're still asking God for signs. Remember the billboards with the messages from God? Right? There's one of my favorites is, you ask for a sign, signed God. There's your sign. Stop asking for signs and start obeying in small steps. Start stepping out and doing what God has called you to do. Then God raises up an army, and in chapter 7, he reduces that army. Come on, you should know the story, right? He reduces that army to help him and his army realize that it's not by their might or by their power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord, so that only God can get credit for it. God will grow your courage. And here's the most beautiful thing. God is patient in our process. He doesn't get annoyed with us and give up on us. Others might. God speaks your identity instantly, but he develops it progressively. Know who you are. God called him mighty hero in chapter 6, but the army, the victory, doesn't happen till chapter 7. And there's a gap between what God says and what you see. And so I want to encourage you today, don't quit in the middle of becoming. Don't quit. Don't give up, because God is not done with the process. Today I want to tell you, maybe God is calling you out, and he's calling you into a deeper relationship with him. I shared with you last week, the greatest call that all of us have is to be with Jesus. It's to be in relationship with him, to grow in relationship. The second greatest calling that each of us in this room, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the second greatest calling you have is to represent and reflect Christ. And then what he's called you to do will come. Will come. Don't focus so much on that. Focus on the becoming. Focus on the relationship. Because who you are becoming is far greater than what you're doing. Be with him. Grow in relationship with him. Finally, God told Gideon, I will be the one to rescue Israel. You just take the steps. You just move forward, and I will be the one. I believe today God is calling some of you out. I believe God is calling all of us out. He's calling us that mighty hero. wherever you are. You can be a mighty hero over your family. You can be a mighty hero over your friends, over your community, over those that you work with. You can be a mighty hero in the kingdom of God, and God is calling us out. But Gideon had to choose. Am I going to trust God and believe that God said this to me and he will accomplish it? Or will I continue to walk in the fear of I'm not good enough? I'm too far behind, I'm too weak, or whatever it might be. Tim, if you'd come, I want you to just position your hearts before the Lord. You can bow your heads if you want. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. I want to encourage you that God sees what you're becoming. He sees what you can be. Right now, you might be trapped in that fear. You might be trapped in that cycle that the Israelites found themselves in. But God's call sees what you can be. Maybe you're here today and you would just say, I feel God calling me, first of all, into relationship with him. Today we're celebrating water baptisms in just a few moments, and what leads up to that is a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here in this room and you've not made that decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you that invitation today. Between you and God, the Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, and was resurrected on the third day, if you believe that in your heart and you confess that with your mouth, you will be saved. And that'll begin the journey, the greatest journey you'll ever take in life, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you've not done that, right now in this moment, just begin to pray between you and God. And if you do that, I want to invite you to fill out a Connect card. Let us know that you've made a decision today to follow Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that you understand that decision, and that if GCA is not your home, that you find a home church to get plugged in and grow in your walk with the Lord. But beyond that, I believe that God is calling each of us to a deeper place in him. Maybe you're here in this room and you'd say, well, I'm not serving anywhere. I believe God is calling you out to serve. And lastly, maybe you're here in this room and you do feel God's call on your life to full-time ministry. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in our last message in this series, of what that looks like and what that means. But I want you to bring up that next step slide, if I can have everybody's attention to the screen. There you go. Maybe you're here in this room and you feel like, well, I want to grow in my walk with the Lord. I know that I need to go deeper. I need some discipleship. I need to be mentored a little bit, whatever it might be. Or you're here and you say, well, I know that I need to step out and I need to begin to serve. I've been a part of this church for some time and I feel like I'm not doing anything. I want you to scan that QR code. That'll bring you to our next steps. You can fill that out and say, you know what? I want to take that next step. I want to grow. I need to be discipled. I want to serve. I want to find my place here at Grace Community Assembly. Take a moment, scan that. If that goes away, you can use the tap tag on the seat in front of you. There's a little tab that says next steps. The next one, you're going to see this over the next several weeks. Bring up that last slide. And that's this. There's an initiative in the Southern Missouri Ministry Network, as we're part of the Assemblies of God, to invite individuals who sense God's call on their life to take that to the next step. So maybe you're here in this room and you felt for some time that God has called you into full-time ministry. We'll clarify again, and this will be on the screen over the next several weeks. You're here and you're like, I know God's called me. I just don't know what to do next. I don't know what the next step is. I'm going to ask you to scan this, and it'll bring you to a site, our Southern Missouri Ministry Network, and it's just simply going to direct you to fill out some information. And what we'll do, and I'm a part of this team at our network office, we're going to process these. And those of you that sense God's call, we want to help you find the next step. There are different pathways that you can go. One of them happens to be very simple. It's called Pathway. They're just some simple classes that you will take to prepare yourself for credentialing and then on to ministry. There are other avenues, such as Global University. There are some schools that are online, Bridges University, that you can take classes and begin to prepare yourself for ministry. Or maybe you're here and you'd say, you know what, I'm all in. I want to go to a Bible college, or I want to go to a university, and I want to be prepared for ministry. There is an avenue for everyone in this room, no matter how young you are or how old you are. If you feel God's call, I want to encourage you as your pastor to answer the call of God. Don't allow fear to hold you back, because God sees not who you are, where you are right now. He sees who He has called you to be. So take that step. Take that step. We're going to prepare for baptisms, and I'm going to ask Pastor Allen to come. And at the conclusion of our service, we'll have our prayer team available. So if you want to respond in that way, you could come forward and respond. Say, I want to answer God's call on my life. Or if you have a need in your life, we're here to pray with you. We'll do that at the conclusion of our service. So prepare to celebrate what God's doing in these lives. Amen.